Yud Zayin Elul, Tuesday the 28th of August, Rabbi Amram Nemeth. The different types of hefsek during Tekiyas Shofar.
My father, Dudi, thank you for asking me to speak. And thank you for having me here. In the town of Livorno in Italy, used to be, as you know, a thriving Jewish community. And it was the birthplace of Moshe Montefiore and many other famous people. And the Pichada, the Chida, I think, was buried there originally until they moved this cave to Eretz Yisrael. Another famous person that was born there was the Pichadash. The Pichadash was born in Livorno in 1659. I can't really pronounce his name. Chizkio ben David di Silu, I think. I don't know how to say it. But that was the Pichadash as we all know him. Eventually he left his town and he went to Amsterdam and then he raised money for yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And he raised money in particular to publicize and print his sefer called the Pichadash, as we know in Yerodeah, the staple, the one that on Shulchan Aruch that everyone uses, the Pichadash. And when he traveled to Egypt, they banned the Pichadash originally. Because some of Rabbanim felt that he was arguing too much on the Mechaber, who was then, you know, people were using the Shulchan Aruch as the main place to go to for halacha, and he was being choyled too much, so some Rabbanim, they banned the Sefer, and we'll see that they took that back afterwards. Well, I mean, one of the famous colors of the Pre-Chadash is with the Cholav Akum. He says if there's a place where there's no non-kosher animals, you know there's none coming in, then you don't, the whole Gezerah of Chazal of Cholav Akum doesn't apply. And they felt that that was all too much. You know, there were many of these kulas, and some people thought he was being too makel, and they banned the sefer. One of the main chalkim was the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, the pre-toya. And therefore there's a sefer on the pre-chadosh and pre-toya printed together, because he's often choylik on him. And relevant to us today is a shaila in the beginning of Hilchas Shechita. Because obviously when he was living, the pre-chadosh was living in land where there were Muslims, and when they used to have the Shechita house, and in the house, if the animal wasn't kosher, then they'd have to give it on to the Goyim, to the non-Jewish people. As many people do, right? If you shecht the animal, you find that its trach has got a hole in the heart, or you shechted it incorrectly. But to save money, you sell it to someone non-Jewish. I remember I was once printing, I was teaching a Pardes house, I think Hilchas Trefus, and I was photocopying all the Trefus from the book that they had in copyright on Finchley Road, and the man said, he was asking me what I was doing, and I said it maybe a bit tact, I wasn't so tactful. I said, well, if it's not kosher, we just give it to the non-Jewish people. And he was laughing for about half an hour. It's not good for you Jews, then you sling it to them non-Jews, alright, that's fine. But then, so what they used to do was, and they used to give it afterwards to the non-Jewish people. And the Muslims were famously careful that they would say Allah Akbar before, that it should be for God. Now it's obviously a terrible phrase used associated with terrorist attacks, but then it obviously wasn't so bad. So they asked the Pre-Chadosh what to do. And his response wasn't so much based on the fact that they were going to be saying something that wasn't suitable maybe for a Jewish person to say, it was that it's a hefsek. Because they wanted the Jewish people to say these words, Allah Akbar, right before the Shechita, and then if the Shechita would go wrong, or if they would find the animal to be treif, then they would take the animal. But if that wasn't said, then they weren't interested in the animal. That's how they made the holy for their purposes. But the problem was that you have to make a bracha on Shechita. And they wanted the Jewish people to say it after they've made the bracha, just before they cut the pipes. Just before it's actually cut, they had to say the words. And if they wouldn't say it, they wouldn't want it. So if you could say it before the bracha, then it's okay. But if you say it after the bracha, then it's a hefsek between the bracha and the maaser that you're going to do, either the mitzvah or the thing that you're going to eat. So they asked him what to do, and he gave them an idea. He said, well, the Muslims are not so careful on birds. They don't really care if you say this expression before or not. So take a bird, shecht it initially as your first shechita for the day. You'll have the rest of the animals waiting. Make the bracha on that one. Don't say their expression. And you'll be might see all the other animals and birds that you want to shecht that day. Ah, you're going to miss out their expression. They don't care if we don't say it on the bird. So either way, it's a win-win situation. It's fine. That's one option he gave. The other option he gave, he say it after you've made the bracha, as you're in the middle of the shechita, it's also okay. But he wasn't bothered with the expression at all. And that the Pritaya came when he writes a whole long marach of how terrible that is. How can you allow Jewish people to say such an expression, even though you say the Rambam says the Muslims believe in our God as well, but maybe they have also kavana when they say it for prophets. And therefore that's avodah zarah. And he wrote terrible things. How on earth can you say that? That Jewish people can say that you can't say it at all. He didn't allow that to happen. That was one argument between the Pri-Chodesh and the Pri-Toya. And after the Pri-Chodesh was nifta, the Rabbanim in Mitzrayim took back the ban. The Arachaim, I think, was known to go to his cave with the Davron for Mechila. Because they realized after he died what an amazing tzaddik he was. But at the time, they didn't realize. And this was the first Machlokes. And it's based on the Gemara in Brachas. Because the Gemara in Brachas says... Did you get the... Amar Rav, Tol Baruch, if someone has washed, and other people, and he says, before he's eaten the bread, take some of the bread that I've made the bracha on, Ein Tzarech Levarich, you don't have to remake your Birchas Hamotzi, because it's relevant to the matter at hand. Havei Melech, Havei Lifton, bring salt, Tzarech Levarich, Ein Tzarech Levarich, says the Gemara, anything that's relevant, very strictly relevant, to what you're about to be doing, it's okay if you say a few words. So if you make hamotzi, then you say, pass the salt, or would you like the bread that I've made the bracha on, it's okay. But says Tosfos, we can see from here that anything else is not okay. And you have to remake the bracha. And this, the chen b'shchita says Tosfos, sarich lachso levarich ilav mimilsa d'shchita. If it's not strictly relevant, then you have to remake the bracha. And this is famous, this is the simple point with Hefzik that I think everyone agrees on and everyone knows. That straight after you've made the bracha, you have to do the, either the action of the mitzvah straight away, or you have to do, or you have to eat the food or drink or smell whatever you're doing straight away. There can be no hefzik between those two. You make the bracha, you do it straight away, unless you have to speak about something which is directly relevant to the thing you're making the bracha on. If not for that, then you can't. That's the simple halacha of hefzik that everyone agrees to, and also that everyone knows. And that's brought in Tekiah Shofar. Ve'ein tzarich loyma, says the Mechabe in Tov Kuf Tzadik Beis, Sif Gimel. Shlo yasichu bein bracha l'tkiyas, im loy be'inin ha'tkiyas, not even be'inin ha'tfilas. Once the Baal Tekeh has made the bracha, and he can't speak and we can't speak because we're mitzvah with his bracha, no one can speak until the first tkiyah has been made. That's one part of hefzik. That's the easiest part of hefzik to deal with, to an extent. But then there's after you've made the bracha, and after the Baal Tekeh has blown the first tekiah. And for that we have to go through a few famous gemaras of Rosh Hashanah to understand about the hefzik then. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Lama Toikim Barash Hashanah, why do we blow the shofar? Lama Toikim Rachmana Amatik, because it says in the Torah, famously the Gemara says. Lama Marin, why do we do Torah? Rachmana Amah. It says in the Torah. So what's your question? Obviously we do it. Lama Toikim Umarin Kishen Yoshvin, but Toikim Umarin Kishen Oimdin. What's the setup about? There's so many tekiahs going on. Where did it all come from? You do it when you sit down, and then when you stand up in Na'amida as well, in Chazal Hashatz we discussed for today. Says the Gemara, to confuse the Satan. That's why we do it after Kriyas HaTorah. That's why we blow the shofar. There are many interpretations to what that means. It maybe quietens your Yitzhara. Maybe the Satan gets confused because he's hearing that at the wrong time. But we do it to confuse the Satan. That's why we blow after Kriyas HaTorah. There's another Gemara, also a famous Gemara. Imru lefonai b'Rosh Hashanah malchis zechoynes v'shoifres. Malchis k'dei shatem tamlichoni aleichem, you can read. Zechoynes k'dei shiales alkanechem v'choyva. U'bameh b'shoifah. Say malchis zechoynes v'shoifres and do it with the shoifah. That means your Shmoyne Esra and your Amid and your Chazaras Hashatz at this point has to be together with the shoifah. So there's two parts. I'm doing that after Kriyas HaTorah to confuse the Satan, to quieten my Yetzirah before I daven, maybe. Or I could be doing it, or I'm doing the shofar later on with Malchus, one set of tekiyas, with Zichronus and with shofars, I'm doing another set of tekiyas. Those are the two parts. And there's various ways in the Rishonim how to understand them. And especially how to understand the tekiyas that you do in Musaf. The Ramban says that when you blow the shofar after Kriyas HaTorah, you confuse the Satan, but you've also actually finished and completed your mitzvah of Tekiyas Shofar, of Yom Teruah, of all the halakhic psukim that tell you to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you've done it after Kriyas HaTorah. So when you blow the shofar later in Musaf, that's a separate mitzvah entirely. And the shofar that you're doing is to help your tefillah rather than your tefillah helping the shofar. I need my tefillahs to go up on Rosh Hashanah with the shofar. But it's not, it could be not even a mitzvah of shofar, it's a mitzvah of tefillah. Because the mitzvah of tefillah I've done. That's how the Har Tzvi explains potentially. The mitzvah of shofar I've done. And there's a whole group of Rishonim which could be that they're saying that Yom Teruah Yir Lachem, I did it to confuse the Satan, but I've done my mitzvah d'oraisa of shofar already. So why later do I blow the tekiyas when it comes to Musaf? That's to help my tefillah, like on the Tanis they used to blow, and they used to dab and dash, and they used to blow the shofar. Because with the shofar, that's the vehicle for my tefillahs to go up. But it's not necessarily the mitzvah of tekiyas shofar. Comes along the Rabbeinu Yeshayahu, and he says, well, therefore you can speak. If you finish the first 30 tekiyas, you can speak in between. Ah, you're worried about the mitzvah later, and your bracha, you're in the middle of a mitzvah, or whatever else, it doesn't matter. Because that's a separate mitzvah you're doing later on. So why shouldn't you be able to speak between two mitzvahs? There's no problem with speaking at all, says the Rabbeinu Yeshayahu. The bracha could be the Shemayna Esra itself. That's what the Baal HaMor says. It could be those are the brachas on it, therefore he would die from the Gemara Beirach, and what doesn't say that, it says Beirach, that could be. That's a discussion in the Rishonim. But says Rabbeinu Yeshayahu, you therefore you can speak after you finish the first 30 tekiyas. Well, and the logic, and it's very logical because you've done the mitzvah, you're doing something else afterwards. So I'll just go to the other this end of the spectrum, there's many Rishonim in between, just to get the two extremes. And the Rif and the Ramban say that the main tekiyah shofar is with Musaf. And the reason why I'm doing tekiyah shofar with davening is because that's the best mitzvah to do of tekiyah shofar. Not that that's the best kind of tefillah to do. Those are the two sides of the coin. The Rambam said the best shofar to do is with zechronos, with malchus. When I say those psukim and shofars, that's the beautiful mitzvah of tekiyah shofar. And that's only later. So when I do the tekiyah sitting down, I haven't done a full mitzvah. Because the best tekiyah shofar is later, and therefore that's one long mitzvah. I'm starting, and I'm carrying on later. And some Rishonim even say, well, there's, you know, the only reason why you do the beginning, Kedei La'ariv HaSatan, the real tekiyas have to come together with a musaf. Well, you may be thinking, if so, how can you make a bracha? Isn't it a hefsek? Like the Gemara brachas we just learned, you're waiting to do the mitzvah for ages. So Tosfos in Psachim asked the question, and Tosfos just in brackets says that, I mean, I'm saying in brackets, he doesn't say it in brackets. Tosfos says that when you don't have lettuce when you only have lettuce on your table and you have to use it for karpas, according to Rav Chisda, according to many ways of understanding, you can make al achilas mara then, even though you're only having your mitzvah of mara much later on. So says Tosfos, we see from here that you could do an action that's associated to the mitzvah, even though you're not fulfilling the actual mitzvah much later on. And Tosfos brings tekiyah shofar with exactly this case over here. Tosfos says you're doing the tekiyah to miyushav as we call it in the Gemara. After tekiyah shofar, that's kedei la'ariv HaSatan. That's not your mitzvah of tekiyah shofar, yet you're making a bracha. And later on in Musaf, you're doing the main mitzvah. Why isn't it a hefsek? Why do we have the shechita problem, the brachas problem? Simply because you're doing an action that's associated to what you'll be going to be doing for the mitzvah. That's what the Birkas Avraham understands. So that's okay. Therefore it's not a hefsek. But that's how far it goes. Either the mitzvah of shofar is with the iriv of the Satan. I did it earlier, did everything. I can talk in between. I can have kish, I can do whatever I want. Then I'd have a Muslim and I'd do a separate mitzvah. And then we've got the other extreme, which is the Rambam and the Rif, the main mitzvahs later on. And in the beginning, it's just the Ariv Es HaSotim. So when I make the bracha, obviously I can't speak. I'm in the middle of a mitzvah. Now we pass in, obviously, like the Rambam and the Rif, that you're not allowed to speak in Tekiyah Shofar. Let's just see how far that goes. Lo yasiach, says the Machab Batof Kuf Tzadik Bei Sif Gimel. Lo yasiach, lo yatakeah, not the Baal Tekeah, but lo yatibo. Bein Tekeah Shema Yoshev, between the Kriyas of Torah Tekeah, after, you know, some people have Kiddush, or after then, after Lamaseach, the Tekeah Shema Umad, until the Tekeah of Musaf. Umi Bein in a Tekeah, our Tfilet Ein Hefzik, Vim Dvarim Betelim Sach, Ein Tzorach Lachsoi Ulevarich. If he did speak a few words, even if they're not associated with the Tekeah of Tfilet, he doesn't have to remake his bracha. Because by and large, according to most Rishonim, when you've made the bracha and you've started the mitzvah, it's very hard to stop and make a hefzik in that. And comes along the Taz, and the Taz explains that you're not going to ruin your bracha if you speak. You're not going to make a big hefzik, but it's not suitable. If you're in the middle of a kiyum ha-mitzvah, you made a bracha on the mitzvah, and especially according to the Rif, you haven't even done the main part of your mitzvah that the Rabbanan gave you, how can you speak? How can you distract yourself? Is it a hefzik? Not necessarily. And therefore you're not allowed to speak. So we paskin like the Rambam, or we paskin like the Rif, the main tekiyas are later on, but it's one long mitzvah. So if I'm doing one long mitzvah, I can't speak in the middle of the mitzvah. I made the bracha tekiyas shofar, I do the tekiyas to meyushav, after I do the tekiyas to meyushav, I then carry on, I daven. Most of I do the tekiyas of standing up. And that's the best part of my mitzvah, I can't speak in the middle. If I do speak, will I ruin my bracha, says the Ramah, says the Taz, of course not. You do halal, if someone comes to you in the middle of halal and speaks to you, you can reply back to them if they're a king or anyone. Shema is not so simple because it's not necessarily the bracha is associated with Shema. With halal, you can speak all the Rishonim saying, you're not going to ruin your bracha. But says the Taz is the same in Hilchos Pesach, it doesn't make sense where you're in the middle of a Kiyom HaMitzvah that it's suitable to go and distract yourself with something else. And even the Taz is slightly ambiguous, that's how Nissan Karelitz understands the Taz. Therefore, you can't speak. We pass and you can't speak because you're in the middle of a mitzvah itself. However, says Rav Nissim that, you know, it's not a hefzik. The reason why you can't speak is not because of hefzik. And therefore, if we have to make ashayotza, if you need to be excused, to make ashayotza, it's not a hefzik. You're not distracting yourself. You needed to go out, you came back, and you make ashayotza, that's no problem. If you want to say Tehillim, after Chazos HaShatz is finished, you can say Tehillim. You, says Rav Nissim, you can't compare it to the Gemara and brachas that with making a hefzik between the bracha and the action. That's a completely different sugya. Over here we're discussing, you made the bracha. You're in the middle of a mitzvah. Nothing's going to break that. The talking won't disturb your bracha. It will stay. So why you can say to Helen, because something that will distract, say, talking about something else, or if someone annoys you to talk to them, the person next to you, that's a distraction from the mitzvah, according to the Taz. You can't do that. But something that's relevant, needed, you can. And he even says, when you take your children, to be metapa with your children, like for example, your children come to shul, you take them out to your wife afterwards, you can say a few words. Because you're not distracting yourself. You want to get your kids home, you can say, please take them, or they're over there, or something, a few sentences just to get you further. So there's no problem in saying that. The Matzei Ephraim does say that you should never, even in places where you can't speak, because people are looking at you and not going to know the difference, they're going to think, if you could speak, I could speak anything. They'll start speaking about football or anything else. Then you shouldn't say anything. Always hint. So even when you speak to your wife outside or someone inside, you should always hint because people are looking at you. And people are, you'll be stopped to saying it. You'll distract them. Halachically speaking, strictly speaking, you could say a few words that are relevant for you to carry on the mitzvah, which is not disrespectful for the mitzvah because it's not a hefzik of the kedin. It's a respectful, something about covered for the mitzvah itself. So if you need to say a few things to carry on, then you can. I think he brings the stipler once after the musaf for a shtender to be moved. And he didn't have a problem in saying that, because it's for him to carry on. When it comes to hefzik, between the bracha and the maaseh, of course you can't. But this is not relevant to that, and therefore you can. Now, what happens if you do? What happens if you make a big break, or if you need to go home? If you need to help us, if someone needs to go, if someone's at home who's not so well? If you're looking for an excuse, some people would like to go home anyway, and they say they have to go home. Just to help, but really, the chol maminim could be quite long for some people. So some people go home, and it's not just talking. They're going home, and they're, maybe they're setting up lunch because they have guests. Maybe the wife's not feeling well, or someone's elderly, they have to help at home. They have to talk maybe half an hour. Now, I'm not talking about missing the tekiyas. That's a different shir entirely. And I'm not talking about when the Baal Tekiyah makes the hefsek. That's also a different shir. This is when you go home, maybe, by the Chom HaMinim, but you come back for the next set of Zichroinus. You're not missing anything. But you're 15 minutes, you're at home, you had the conversation, there was a security issue outside, and you had to deal with it, someone was starting on someone, and you were speaking to the police or whatever it was. So that's a hefsek. That's not just talking, that's a proper hefsek. So maybe you should have to go back and start the whole thing again, or I don't know, you should have to go back to the last set at least. Says the Mechaber, and it's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the famous Gemara. Shama teisha tekiyas miteisha b'nei Adam. Sorry, shama teisha tekiyas miteisha shas b'yoyim. You heard 9 tekiyas in 9 hours. Yotza, afile miteisha b'nei Adam. Tekiyah mizeh, trum mizeh, v'tekiyah mizeh. You can have a hefsek between, with the Ebed, says Rabbein Yerucham, says the Mishnah Berurah. If you have a hefsek between the mitzvah carries on, the bracha carries on. Your talking and your action of hefsek, you're maybe joking outside, you're getting annoyed with the person next to you instead of your coat, is not going to ruin the mitzvah. The mitzvah's going to stay. And therefore, it's not a hefsek, even b'di'evet. So we've discussed now l'chatchila and b'di'evet. We've discussed right from the beginning the bracha and the action, you can't say anything unless it's strictly relevant. The Tefillah Shorah says even one word of Hilchos Shechita you can't say. That will make a hefsek. That was one. Then we moved on, we said there's two parts of Tekiyah Shofar, and some people said they say you can talk in between simply because it's a separate mitzvah, the Tekiyah Stot Mumut. That's helping your davening. That's not helping your Tekiyah. So I finish my Tekiyah. We don't paskin like that. We paskin you can't speak. Because we do a few Tekiyahs earlier, but the main Tekiyahs are later on. So you're in the middle of a mitzvah, you can't speak Sitzat Taz, it's not suitable. How can you distract yourself from a bracha, from a mitzvah, and talk about something else? But if you have to, like a tchile, you could talk about something. That's what we said earlier. Asher yotza, you need to help someone. You can say a few words. You're not going to have to go back or ruin anything. And says the Mechaber later on, b'di'eved, b'di'eved, even a large hefsek. You go home for 20 minutes and you talk for a long time and you completely forget about Tekiyah Shofar. Tekiyah Shofar stays and the mitzvah stays and the bracha stays. It doesn't go away. Now we don't have time now, but basically in Kriya Shma, when it comes to hefsek, the only time it really goes away is when the mitzvah can't carry on anymore. You can't do it. You're in a place where there's soya. A person can't control themselves, they'd be excused. That's when the mitzvah, there's a hefsek. Other than that, there's no hefsek really for a mitzvah. According to the Magen Avraham, the way most people understand it. But unless you get to that situation where you're in a tzoya and you can't physically do the mitzvah, then it's not going to be counted.
So if somebody goes to the toilet, then he'll be in the situation where he can't be mekayim the mitzvah then. So that will be a hefsek when he comes back into shul.
Yeah, that's true. How does, yeah, I don't know. Well, that's a fair point.
What are you saying about if you don't resist the tekiyas, the other tekiyas, why is that?
Unless the Baal Tekiyah has to be in that situation.
No, maybe you have, maybe when you're in shul with the tekiyas, you have to be in a situation that the tekiyas can carry on. If you go to a situation out of there, well, maybe when you're with the shofar and you're davening and the mitzvah has to carry on, that
well, only if the tekiyah is in shul. That's not, I don't know.
Okay. Because the reason why you can't do it is because it's not suitable to do the mitzvah, the bi'alachas. So we go into the toilet, it's not because it's not suitable to do the mitzvah. It's the mitzvah can't carry on in this situation as I'm doing because it's not suitable for it. But I'm not, if I'm going to be, excuse me, not distracting myself from the mitzvah at all. That's a normal thing to do when you're doing a mitzvah. It's if it's impossible, me at all, to go in any situation because someone can't control themselves, and I can't now physically do a mitzvah. I'm not going to see if that's if I go and excuse and I come back.
Break, because you can't do it anymore.
It could be something that you think about.
Isn't it like tefillin, for instance? You go out to the toilet, you've got to make another bracha on tefillin when you come back.
You do or don't?
You do. Since it's not, but tefillin, yes. Because since it's, you can be mekayim in the toilet.
Okay. Yeah, that's a fair point. Okay.
That's probably a simple answer.
Alright. Yeah, okay. So those were the two points of Tekiyah Shofar itself.
If you miss miss, you said only if you don't miss, you go 20 minutes.
Yeah, if you miss, there's something how many you want to catch up. Depends if it's tekiyas to Rabbanon, and that's already a whole different sugya, when you're missing, how many you're missing, whether you're doing them together or not. That takes itself a long time to explain. But just to end off, you know, either way, we discuss that there's two ways also that just the one more halacha, Rav Nissen brings it according to Rav Kiva Eig, when there was a plague and many people were ill, he allowed people to blow the first 30 tekiyas and then make kiddush and then do musaf afterwards. Because he felt that was better than maybe making kiddush before a mitzvah. And it's a hefsek b'di'evah, you're not distracting yourself in a situation where you can't carry on the mitzvah itself. And therefore, that's what he allowed people to do, b'di'evah. That's like the machabel that we just quoted. Because someone told me Golden Screen that he does it. He makes the first 30 tekiyas and he does kiddush up after that. But either way, you know, there's the Brisker Rav points out that we say, Shemaya Kol Toras Amo Yisrael Barachamim. We say also the pasuk goes, Suras Melech Boy. And Suras Melech Boy, Ruas can mean Reyes, can mean, Rashi says it means that we're friendly. It also can mean Trua, as in the Shofar of the Trua that Ibn Ezra says. Says the Brisker Rav, they're one of the same thing. Because every guy and everyone non-Jewish can pray to Hashem. It says, Ki Vesi Ves Tfilah Li Kari Lechol Ha'amim. We can all pray to Hashem. But Rosh Hashanah, the davening is by the help of a shofar, and that only we can do. That's only someone who's intimate can do. The shofar offers an intimate tefillah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that goes better, especially if you say that the whole tekiyas to Umma that to help your tefillah. And therefore the shofar has to be smooth, which it says the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. So your tefillah should be smooth, says the Brisker Rav. Because the shofar is an aid to help your tefillahs go up. And maybe you've done already the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar earlier. And your shofar is helping your tekiyahs go up. And therefore, it's a suras melech boy, it's something that we're closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than any other people, says the Brisker Rav. Because everyone can daven, but not everyone has the schus of their davening going up with a tekiyah. And that's what we have in Rosh Hashanah. We should be zoicha this year for our tefillahs to be makubal, especially with the schus of the shofar. Thank you very much. Shkoyach.